Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself. Whatever you do, do it good. Whatever you do, do, Lord, Lord. You look like when you're doing what you're doing, it's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself, express yourself. You're doing it on the moon, y'all, in the jungle too.
Oh, yeah, everybody on the floor. I love that. Welcome to Express Yourself, where creativity and conversation collide, broadcasting from the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I am Amy Kimberly, and it is so great to be back on the air with one of my favorite people.
Oh, here I am. Yes.
What's your name?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, did
Brian,
you read the print?
Brian Colley. And we have a great show lined up for you today. I have some Valley visual artists, Kelly Phillips, Matt Hayes, and Dion Holt joining us before the big opening tonight at Carbondale Arts.
And hometown boy Patrick Kelleher is joining us to talk about his premiere in the series The Rookie and his off-Broadway appearance in Fatherland. There is a premiere for the community of The Rookie at the Crystal Theater tonight. But first,
we're going to start off with The Crew from El Dorado and Thunder River Theater Company. They're putting on a great party and concert next week with the Triptides. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. Triptides.
They're a fun band that played Mountain Fair last year, and they'll be hopping on the phone with us today.
So don't touch that dial.
Ooh, that was good.
All righty. What a fun Friday afternoon. We are here in the studio with Mike Arnold and Chris Roulet. Am I saying that?
It's Rullet.
Just Rullet. Think of, Chris Rullet.
That's perfect, yeah.
Just think of Brian's mullet, but at
That's great. From El Dorado and Missy Moore, Artistic Director of Thunder River Theater. And we also have Glenn Brigman from the Triptides on the phone. Are you there, Glenn? Huh? Oh, yeah. Are you there, Glenn?
Yeah, sorry. It went to a ringing and then it dropped in.
Okay, there you go. I was had you up on the wrong phone anyway. Getting used to things. All right. Well, hey, we've got a great event happening next Friday, the 24th. It is the premiere show of Pink to Black concert series. It is hosted by El Dorado and Thunder River Theater. And the Triptides are playing. I mean, wow. I can't think of a better thing to be doing next Friday than getting my booty out there and having some fun. So let's start with how this came to be. And Chris and Mike, maybe you guys can talk to that. How did this all come
well,
to...
Well, yeah. First off, what's up, Glenn?
Yeah, what's up,
hey,
Glenn?
How's it going?
I can hear you barely. Is that right, Amy?
Yeah, he's up. He's, you know, in a canyon in California.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn, I we're so happy to have you back, man. I mean, not only did you guys destroy Mountain Fair, but coming into El Dorado last year and doing the after party show where we had a line three blocks deep on Main Street, kids were dancing in the street. It was packed in there. It was sweaty. It was awesome. So we're so stoked to have you back, dude. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, yeah. That was a great night.
And to answer your question, I think, you know, basically, Missy, Chris, and I, you know, after that show, actually, after the Triptide show, it was so packed in El Dorado. And when I walked outside to smoke a heater, and I looked down the street and saw all those kids that couldn't get in, I got pissed off. And I looked at Chris, and I said, we got to get a bigger space, man. If we're going to bring cool bands like Triptides into town, it serves everybody to have a bigger space so they can get in. Like, we want to – that's a big deal of El Dorado. This is one of our key tenets of why we opened this bar was music. And so Chris immediately just said – what about this big, sexy place down over here, the Thunder River Theater? We could probably fit 300 people in there. And so we reached out to Missy. We had a couple of drinks. We had a talk. And boom, here we go.
Nice. And Pink to Black, as many of you out there know, is kind of a term that a lot of rafters use. We've got the Pink Satank Bridge and the Black Iron Bridge. So it really feels and is going to signify Carbondale and that vibe and what's happening, and people can really feel it. So, Glenn, let's talk a little bit about this music you're bringing to us. Triptides, you guys are kind of described as West Coast psychedelia. What does that mean? What are we going to experience?
I think it means a lot of things, but we're always trying to keep it this kind of groovy time capsule into something that maybe our generation missed, and we're bringing all of our influences, stuff that we love, anything that really has moved us, we've tried to incorporate into our music. But, you know, a lot of classic 60s and 70s psychedelic rock, everything from the Beatles to, I don't know, like
Beach Boys,
Beach Boys, but even up the current stuff like Stereo Lab and Air and these kind of more neo psychedelic things, and kind of we're using old instruments to make something new, and it gets heavy, it gets mellow, it gets groovy. It's supposed to just kind of be a voyage when we play live, and I think that's what we're going to try and bring up there to Carbondale.
And I love your use of pedal steel and keyboards. Those are really sexy when you pull out. Yeah. You're the keyboardist as well, correct?
I am, and our bass player, Tyler, actually has performed all the pedal steel on our records, so we're lucky to have a good group of talented, you know, people that can really bring different elements to the project and keep it interesting.
Well, and Missy, I think that the theater is going to kind of throw in some cool effects that are going to accompany this great music. Can you
Before you talk, Missy, let me just say something. None of this is happening without you.
100%.
So we are so appreciative that you are going to stick your neck out. You're going to open this up. You're going to try something new. You're a doer, as I've said. As soon as we bring up a topic, you just get it done. So we are so thankful for you making this happen. And what you're about to, you know, part of that conversation when we just said a concert, Missy was the one who just said, it's not a concert. We want to create a music experience and overlay the theater on top of the music. And that's when all of our heads exploded. Like, this happens in L.A. Glenn's probably seen it a million times, but this doesn't happen in Carbondale. And for us, this is next level. And Missy took a small idea and took it to the absolute next level.
That's right. So let's hear that next level.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the most important part is that we're taking the concert experience and then we're infusing it with the magic of theater. You know, it's a black box, which I always like to say is my canvas. So the possibilities are endless when we can talk about how we're going to activate the theater. So with this concert series, thematically, it will be different for every band that we bring in. And to me, that's the beauty of it. You know, it's just that little offering that sets us apart from other just traditional concert venues.
That's right. And so I think some of the vibe is going to be kind of surf and psychedelia. Like, can we get a little hint?
You'll have to get your tickets.
And they're going fast, folks.
Yes.
You know, we're half sold, right?
About. That's correct.
Yeah. So I would not wait because I've experienced this many a time. I'm sure you have. It's like everybody waits. And then that night you're getting 100 calls from all the people you know wanting to get in. And you can't help them.
Yeah, don't be stuck outside of El Dorado like you were last time when Triptides was here. Get a ticket.
Yeah, yeah. And so back to the band, Glenn, do you guys, you have a new recording out?
Yeah, we actually have a new single that we just put out. And it's the first side is a really heavy, like, fuzzy psychedelic rock song, and the flip side is more of like a Doorsy kind of dark keyboard driven rock song. That they're both really fun. I, you know, we might be playing both, we might be playing one. It's gotta come and see. Gotta get a ticket. I don't really know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I listened to it. It sounds really good. And in fact, I thought maybe we'd play something off of that. And where can people find out more about Triptides?
Well, we are on all of the normal usual suspects, Instagram and Facebook and Spotify and Apple and all that stuff. I personally have been probably taking more care of our Instagram. That's just, you know, I can only do so many things with social media. So that's probably the best way to get updates and find out what's going on, where we're headed, what sort of merch we're selling, when we're putting out a new song, all that jazz. So yeah, we've got I try to keep it up to date, but yeah, we've got a new single, and then we've actually got an album announcement coming in the next month too. It might actually be announced before we play all these shows on our run, but looking forward to releasing a full record before the summer. So we're really excited about that over here.
Fabulous. And I do love that you're really into the vinyl, you guys. I see you're selling vinyl, and that's awesome.
Glenn looks young, but he's an old soul. You know, based on the conversations we had at the bar, a lot of his influence are old school. And, you know, Glenn, I'm speaking for you, but you're kind of an old soul, don't you think?
I'll take the old soul thing. Yeah,
hell yeah, why not? Well, that's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about the whole overall series, because this is not just a one-off.
That's correct. I actually want to throw it over to you, Chris.
Oh, definitely. Like these again, Glenn. Thank you so much. We really appreciate this. We couldn't kick off this series with any other better band. We're looking for this series to be a unique series where we have up and coming bands that are very unique to their sound, and we want people to come out and experience something amazing inside of our theater. And we want new experiences every single time. And we want, again, up-and-coming bands that have an amazing sound.
And new experiences, I'd say, you know, visually musically.
It definitely. And don't be scared of any of it. If you don't know the band, come check it out.
That's the best part. It's kind of like Mountain Fair, where a lot of people, you don't know the bands, but you get there and it just creates this amazing energy and vibe and party and celebration. And I think that's what you guys are going for. I believe the next band is a reggae band. Is that correct?
That's correct. I don't know if we're allowed to say the name yet, because I don't think the ink is dry on the on the contract. But yes, the next
to bring diversity.
Next show is going to be a little bit more reggae, electronica, and brass sound. So it's not your traditional Bob Marley. We're probably shooting for some kind of beach tiki kind of feel in there. And the third band is, I don't want to say punk, but
I would say high energy and definitely a bit of punk.
Yeah,
for sure.
Wow.
With a big FU attitude.
Yeah.
They're young and they're angry, and that's going to be really fun. We don't know what the theme is for that yet. We got to talk about that, but
just no pyrotechnics, please.
Well, a lot of people are going to be feeling young and angry by then, so it'll be perfect. Perfect. Well, this is so great. So how do we find out more? Oh, one thing we didn't touch upon are the delicious drinks that are going to be served.
Yeah, that's right. El Dorado's going to be doing all the bars and cocktails. I believe, Missy, you're bringing in, who was that for beer?
Glenwood Brew Pub.
Okay.
So Glenwood Brew Pub will be doing the beer. We'll be doing wine, all the delicious El Dorado cocktails that you love. And we'll also have some NA options that aren't garbage. So we'll have NA Prosecco, NA cocktails that drink like real cocktails. So everything you love about El Dorado will be right there.
Well, I say this sounds like, you know, pull out your psychedelic wear, get real colorful, get dressed up, come on down. I mean, that's what you need in the winter, and you guys are providing it, so it's really exciting. How do we get tickets?
Yeah, you can get tickets online at thunderrivertheater.com. If you purchase in advance, they're $25. Day of the event will be $30, but we're going to be sold out by that point. So
that's
get
right.
Your tickets now. Or you can call our box office at 970-963-8200.
Fabulous. And is El Dorado going to be open before and after? Taking a break that night?
Let me talk to management.
Yeah. We might need them all over there.
I think, we gave all the kids off for January
Nice.
To ski and take a vacation and get away from the bar.
Oh, that's great.
So we're shut down till February.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, that's an awesome thing to do and a good timing, you know, good way to start. Just give a little break, come back fresh. All right. Well, Pink to Black, you guys, get your tickets at thunderrivertheater.org.
.com. Yep.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Glenn. Yeah. Appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, Glenn.
Looking forward to seeing all you guys next week. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Stay safe in L.A. Are you in L.A. or where are you?
I'm in the mountains, San Bernardino Mountains, a bit east of L.A. in Crestline, California. So I'm a little removed from those wildfires currently happening. But this is also a fire-prone area, so we're always on the alert here. But hoping for the best and hope things mellow out and everyone recover from what they've lost and can move forward and be a little stronger afterwards.
Well, we look forward to seeing you. And everybody, get your tickets. All right. Thanks so much to all of you for taking your time to come here.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
All right.
Is it?
All right, that was some of the Triptides off of their newest album, I believe, which you can find on Spotify. Thanks for that fun interview, you guys. Maybe you heard some behind the scenes getting ready for this next interview because the microphone was on the whole time. But that's community radio for you, right? Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself here on KDNK. And up next, we have some Valley Visual artists in the house. Let me get your mics on, everybody. Let's see. Artists Matt Hayes, Dion Holt, and Kelly Phillips. How are you all?
Doing well, thank you.
Doing good, thanks.
Great, thanks, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Tonight is the opening of the 46th annual Valley Visual Art Show at Carbondale Arts. It is one of my favorite shows of the year just because it involves artists around the whole valley and beyond. I think this year we have artists from all the way in Rifle to Aspen and everywhere in between. And just all different media. If you've never been to the Valley Visual, it's just something for everyone. There's, I think, just over 60 artists this year working in all different media, and I'm happy to have three of those artists here. And you all work in very different media, which I thought was a good mix for the show today. So I just want to start with kind of an overall question for the three of you. If you can kind of explain, you know, say your name again, but also what's your artistic background? How did you start exploring what you do now as an artist working in the Roaring Fork Valley? Who wants to start?
Everyone's pointing. Me. Everyone's pointing at me. All right. My name is Matt Hayes. I'm actually a Carbondale local. I grew up here, graduated from Roaring Fork High School. My background, how I got into doing what I'm doing now is my educational background is actually in animation, which I did for about 10 years after college. And then got kind of sick of sitting in a dark studio room by myself and a bunch of computers, which then led me to tattooing, which I've been doing for almost 20 years now.
Wow.
And so the work that I've got in the show and what I'm doing now is laser cut layered wood illustrative pieces, I guess is the best way to explain it.
I see that.
And so it kind of brought a lot of my technological background from animation and stuff in with my illustrative background of tattooing and try and kind of meld those together. And so that's what I've been doing a lot of lately.
I can definitely see the style of the tattooing coming through. And also now that you say it with the animation, because this piece is three-dimensional with lots of layers that I could see being animated in some way.
Yeah, the layering is one of the toughest aspects to figure out in these pieces for sure.
Uh-huh. Do you have a studio at your home, or how do you make your art?
Yeah. I've got a 1,400 square foot studio at my house that where I've got all my creative stuff set up. I've got a room for tattooing. I've got places for painting. I've got my big laser. I've got music set up. I'm pretty set up to however I'm feeling that day. I can just jump into a project. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. How about you, Dion?
I am somewhat new to the Valley. I'm moving up to Marble. We're building a house.
Yeah.
Studio up there. The piece that I've got in this show is gouache, and it was based on a plein air painting of the Crystal River.
And describe what gouache is for those who might not know what gouache is.
Gouache is very similar to watercolor, same kind of pigments and same kind of binder. It's got a lot more pigment and different materials in there like chalks that make it opaque. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot more forgiving than watercolor. You can go back in and rework it. If things are too light or too dark, you can adjust values and change the colors up. So I've really enjoyed getting into it over the last probably 2 years as a change from watercolor, and then it also helps kind of inform my bigger oil paintings.
Oh, wow. You do a lot of different painting media.
That's
great. How long have you been painting?
I am an engineer by background.
Oh, interesting.
I left my corporate job in the pandemic, so I've been painting full-time for the last 4 years or so.
How did you make that decision? I mean, the pandemic helped you, but how did you jump into the artwork full-time?
I've always painted. It's always been an interest on the side, and I just really spent a lot more time, obviously a lot more time at home, and really threw myself into it and enjoyed it so much that I moved out here from the Front Range and gotten into painting.
Great. And you do a lot of your painting on location. I know your Instagram a little bit because I follow you. I follow all three of you on Instagram, but I've seen, you know, your plein air, which is like on location.
Yes, painting. I do a lot of painting outdoors. Not so much in the winter, right, but definitely through summer. So yeah, I'm looking forward to exploring the Crystal Valley a lot more this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. How about you, Kelly Phillips? What's your background? How did you get into the things that you do now?
Well, I do glass, stained glass right now, and I've been embellishing it with beads and stones and agates. How I started was ceramics, actually.
Oh, interesting. I don't think I knew that.
I was doing ceramics, and we lived in Grand Junction, and at the Art Center, they have a spectacular ceramics program, but they offered a stained glass course one winter, and I couldn't resist. And after that, I've been just addicted.
It's very different from ceramics. So.
It's very different from really anything I've ever done.
Uh-huh.
But the piece I have in the show is mushroom and onions, and we like to renovate houses on the side, and I took that and took a vintage window and refurbed it. And it's a 6-light window, and yeah, it has sliced agate as the mushrooms and glass beads for the allium, which are the onions.
Allium.
Alliums.
Okay. What is there a name for the mushrooms besides mushroom?
No. Okay. Mushroom.
Okay, great. Allium, though, I'm learning that word today.
They're beautiful bulbs that bloom in the spring.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
about.
Onion
family. The deer don't eat them, so they're fabulous for around here.
Perfect.
And then they can turn into little trees when you glue them on to make them into a little.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, very creative. How did you, I mean, I've done a little bit of stained glass, but it just seems like there's a lot more, well, not more, but different kinds of equipment than ceramics. Do you have a studio at your home that you kind of lay out work?
I had a studio at my home and I got kicked out of the garage.
Oh, really?
My husband's also a mechanic, so that glass and mechanics weren't a good pairing.
Okay.
So I'm now in Saw.
That's
which
right.
Which is fabulous.
Yep.
And I don't do the like traditional leaded, like the big church window leaded glass things. I try to get as thin and curvy as my glass will allow.
Which is a different method. Like, is it
it's
a copper?
Tiffany. Yeah, it's copper foil. It's Tiffany method.
Tiffany method. Sounds fancy. It's
the lamps.
Yeah, the Tiffany glass lamps. All right. Well, yeah, let's go back through. We kind of touched on each of your works, but if you can describe maybe some of your process and how you created it, we can start again with Matt and the wood laser cut.
For sure. Well, it all starts out with the initial drawing and, you know, I'll sketch it out either digitally or on paper, and then I'll go in and, during that drawing process is kind of where I have to figure out where my layering happens.
Because it's three dimensional.
Yeah.
So,
with all the pieces and how the layers interact together. It's typically probably one of the toughest parts about what I do is figuring out how that interaction plays together.
Interesting.
So I'll usually spend a day, 2 days drawing and figuring out my layers. And then
only 2 days. That's impressive, actually.
I've been drawing every day for the last 20 some odd years tattooing, so I'm pretty quick with that. But
that's it. That you heard it from the artist here. Practice, practice,
practice. Practice, practice, practice. Never stop. but then I vectorize all that file digitally. And get it set up in my laser software, which in the actual lasering part goes pretty quick. Piece that I've got in the show tonight, a fairly big piece, probably takes half a day to run through the laser with all the different layers.
Wow.
So that's pretty quick. But then the assembling and the painting, because I hand paint every layer as well. And so that's all done generally with watercolor, liquid acrylics. And then, I'll spend another, day and a half, 2 days painting. So a piece like today, or like what I've got in the show, probably about 3 to 4 days solid of 10, 12-hour days of work.
Wow. So. And each one's I mean, it's cut out of the laser cutting wood panels, but it's one of a kind.
One of a kind. I don't do too many reproductions. Like small things that are, you know, I'd have in a market, I'll do reproductions of, but any of these are all one of ones.
Wow. Yeah. And it's pretty big. What's this?
Yeah, it's a 20 by 30 by about 2 inches deep.
Okay. And for if you haven't been to the Valley Visual, there is a size restriction. So 30 inches is the maximum size on anything.
You have to push it.
Well, when you're fitting that many people in a two-room gallery, you got to think creatively to make it work.
Pack them in there.
Yeah. Dion, for your process, for this painting in particular of the Crystal River, was that done on location like this summer or fall? Or
The original wasn't. The original was an oil painting that I did on location. And when I paint outdoors, I try and match the colors as they are, as I see them. And then when I take paintings back into the studio, that's when you get to experiment a little bit. So this painting was a gouache study based on that oil plein air. And I pushed the colors a little bit more. So I really could see a lot more kind of blues and greens in the river that day. And so I really kind of pushed the color more than what it kind of was.
When you say push the color, does that mean you're saturating it more, like intensifying the vibrancy?
Yeah, intensifying or changing the color.
Okay.
And making it more, harmonic or how you want to see it. So it's usually what I do with gouache is I do a ton of small studies inside. Sometimes I take it outdoors, but a lot of the gouache work is smaller studies for bigger pieces, and so I get to experiment and try some different things.
Wow.
I'm trying for the smallest piece in the show. I don't know if I won.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. That's an interesting, I should go back through and see. There are some, what size is yours?
Mine's like 5x5, and then it's framed, so it's a little bigger with the matting.
And I forgot to ask, do you have like a home studio? You said you're building a home right now in marble. So.
Yeah, building a home up in the marble area. So
you're kind of in between spaces?
I'm in between. So I've been doing a lot more gouache because it's a lot more portable. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on right now.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Kelly, what's the process like for you? I know you have your studio in SAW, which is Studio for Arts and Works. It's like a studio collaborative with 28-ish, 25-plus artists. What's your process? Do you have a method to your madness, I guess?
It's definitely madness, but I start out with a drawing.
Okay.
And I'm not that proficient in a few days.
like some people.
It takes a lot because certain cuts and grinding doesn't totally work with glass. There's a lot of energy in a piece of glass. So if you're asking it to do something, it doesn't want to.
Interesting.
You get to start over.
Yeah, start over. Right. There's not like an undo button when you cut glass.
Exactly.
To glue it back.
There's a lot of scraps, which are perfect.
Yeah.
For other projects.
For other projects. Great.
So it starts with a sketch. I've learned I've taken a picture of my sketch and then blow it up and really like study the lines to see if it's actually going to flow and going to work. And this one was tricky because it's a 6-light window. So I have about an inch in between the design where the design had to flow.
I see what you're saying.
And the glass had to fit within the lights.
Mm-hmm. And then when you're done, you're working in your studio and then you finish it and you can hold it up with the light and it must just transform there.
Finally, yes, because it's all done flat.
Right, on a table.
And on a light table, you can kind of see, but it doesn't all ever come together until it's finally done.
Whoa, yeah. And the agates just bring another element. Plus, you have some three-dimensional elements as well. It just kind of pops right off the window.
Absolutely. I saw the agates in a little rock shop. And I was like, oh, those look like perfect mushrooms. I can't wait. It was the inspiration for the whole piece.
Yeah. And I think you have participated in the Valley Visual Art Show before. Is that right?
Last year was my first year.
So this is your second. And Dion and Matt, I think, is this your first year?
This is my first year, yeah.
Wow.
My first year, yep.
Well, what I also love about this show is there's new and emerging artists that have never shown in the gallery before. Maybe they have shown other places, but it's exciting to grow that connection with the creative community. And there's also artists that have come back year and year after who have been established in the Valley for a while. And they still want to show as part of this exhibition. So there's just something for everyone, I feel like. Different media, different subject matter, all that kind of stuff. We do have a couple more minutes. If you have any projects coming up this year that you're excited about, do you have anything on the horizon? Kelly's like, no. Do you take commissions at all, Kelly?
This whole project's about not being stressful, so commissions are stressful. I avoid them if I can.
Yep.
I just did two birds, a woodcock and a rough grouse for a hunting camp in upstate New York.
Wow.
And they came out better than ever expected.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Awesome. Dion?
I guess I'm looking forward to the summer and getting back out and doing some plein air. It looks like some cold temperatures in the next week, so probably won't be painting too much outdoors in the short term. And I'm working on some gouache oil paintings based on my gouache studies.
Oh, great. Yeah. Is it possible to paint outdoors with oil paints? Because it's not water-based, so...
Yeah, absolutely. And you can paint some really cold temperatures just as long as your hands are still working.
Oh, right. The human body has to make it too. Okay, perfect. Thanks, Dion. Matt?
Geez, I feel like I've got all kinds of stuff going on.
Tattoo artists.
Yeah. Actually, I've been, in the last couple of years, been doing less tattooing. I'm still tattooing, of course, but doing less tattooing and definitely having more of a focus on artwork and stuff. And actually been kind of getting into mentoring programs. So I'm currently mentoring some kids in poster design through the Glenwood Rec Department.
Oh, no way.
Cool. I'm in talks with the Art Base on Basalt for the Claudette Carter Art Mentorship Program.
Right.
And I've applied for a couple of solo shows for next year, so that'll be a lot of work on my plate for the year. A couple tattoo conventions all over the place.
You've got a full plate. That's amazing. Before we wrap up, how can people find out more about you and see your work and appreciate what you do as an artist, or other things?
For me, the easiest way to find out about my artwork stuff is probably Instagram, although I'm horrible at social media. That's one thing I'm also trying to be better at this year.
I mean, the artist has to do so much. You have to do your own marketing and make the art.
It's too much sometimes. I just want to make art. The art of Matt Hayes, and that's Hayes with no E, Hays.
Okay.
Most people tend to put an E in it. So the Art of Matt Hayes, or Art of Matt Hayes, I think, one of those. You could find it.
Excellent.
Yep. That's probably the best way.
Perfect. Thanks, Matt. Dion?
Instagram as well, or sign up to my email through my website.
How do you spell your name just for those?
DionHolt.
Perfect. Excellent. Thanks, Dion. How about you, Kelly?
I'm at Kusa Creative on the web and on Instagram, Kousa. It's a Japanese dogwood, if you're curious.
Oh, I did not know that. I was curious. Great. And if you want to come meet all these artists tonight, they'll be at the Carbondale Arts Gallery over in the launch pad. Tonight is the opening from 5 to 7 p.m. Come meet the artists. Thank you to Basalt Printing and Art Supply for sponsoring this exhibition. They have a fun art activity for everyone to engage with and some cool art supplies to try out. You can also vote for your favorite artwork, which will be very hard with 60-plus things to look at. And you can also vote for the smallest art, probably, for your favorite if you wanted to. The show's up through February 20th. Voting for People's Choice Awards are announced February 14th on Valentine's Day. You can learn more at carbondalearts.com. Thank you, Kelly, Dion, and Matt, for coming on KDNK today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Happy Friday. We'll continue our Express Yourself journey in a moment.
Is that a baton in your pocket? Are you just happy to see me? She puts the short in shorty, and he looks like he wants to chase me. Cap cuties, cute and on duty, navy blue booties, go ahead and lock me up. Arrest me, but make it sexy. Arrest me, but make it sexy. Put me in the back of your car and we'll start a verbal flirtation. I'm doing tax fraud and arsons now. Take me down to your station.
All right, that is a little music that is from The Rookie. And we are so excited. We are in the studio right now with Patrick Kelleher. And Patrick grew up here in Carbondale, participated in Soul and Theater Aspen. And he is now a rising star on the series The Rookie. I think it's season 7. As well as you did an off-Broadway production of Fatherland. So, wow, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super stoked to be back here. This is good. Love Katie and Kay.
Oh, that's so good. Were you ever a youth radio?
I was. I did the Andy Zanke Youth Empowerment Program for 2 years. With,
Yeah,
with Callum Jenkins.
All right, with Callum. Yeah. Callum's in New York.
Yeah. No, Callum's a good guy. I love Callum.
Yeah, he's trying to become a singer-songwriter in New York. So
yeah.
This is great. So let's first start with, what year did you graduate and leave us here in Carbondale?
I graduated in 2020.
Auspicious year.
Yeah,
you had the strange, had to do the car
that
graduation.
It was cool. Aspen got the chairlift graduation and we got the car parade. I thought that the car parade was pretty cool. That was, you have your regular graduations and we got to drive through town and that was the stuff. That was really cool.
Yeah. And then, wow, it's only been 4 years and really essentially you got into this production of Fatherland. Had to be what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, so I got Fatherland. We started rehearsals February of 2024. I got the role in January of 2024, so it's been exactly a year. And things just took off. Graduated in 2020, traveled for a little bit, went to school in Florida, Full Sail University, did a 20-month program. And that was a film. I got a film bachelor's, mm-hmm. which was great in 20 months, 9 to 5, yeah. 5
You
days
didn't
a
have
week.
Time to really go to school because you were on it a was, trajectory.
Well,
boy.
Yeah. No, it was, but yeah, so that all started a year ago. And a couple months after rehearsals, and we did rehearsals a month. A month after we started the show, I got the attention from one of the casting directors, and that I auditioned for The Rookie, and then it just took off.
Well, let's talk about being in a play. I mean, it's two very different things, being in a play, live theater, and doing a series on TV. So with Fatherland, just real quick, give us that story of that you told me. That's a great story of how you were here.
Yeah. So I graduated from college. I took 6 months off to go travel. And I get back, and I'm teaching skiing up in Aspen, and I was here for about 30 days, and I was kind of going crazy. And I was like, I need to get out to L.A. I need to start doing the thing. And I open up my computer to do some research. I type in top theaters in Los Angeles, and the first one that pops up is the Fountain Theater. Mm. So I'm like, oh, it's prestigious. That's the very first one that pops up. And I go in, and I send them an email, like total shot in the dark. Do you guys have any auditions available? I'm an L.A. local, and that's not true. I'm sitting on my couch and behind City Market. And
pro tip.
And they, and it's a little white lie, whatever. And they said, come on out. So little did I know, they had pushed this show back 2 weeks because they could not find the son. And it's a father and a son. And it's a story about the storming of the Capitol. And the son, it's a true story. The son turns his father into the FBI in suspicion that he's about to storm the Capitol. And then he does. And the whole fiasco begins. So they're looking for this kid. And they cannot find this kid. They auditioned 528 – they saw 528 kids. They boiled it down to the final 10, and I emailed them, and they said, we have our final auditions on Monday, and it was a Friday. Ooh. So I jumped – I got out to L.A. as quick as I could, slept on my buddy's couch, and started and did the audition. Came back, think like, woo, that's my first audition in L.A. It's super cool. And I booked the gig.
You nailed it.
Wow. And that's how it began.
Wow. Wow. What a great story. And actually, Fatherland showed in L.A., played in L.A., and then went to Off-Broadway, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we did. We were originally supposed to do 30 days in L.A., and then it went to 3 months, and then it went to 6 months, and then we got the transfer to Off-Broadway. So it was a total of 9 months, the run.
This was all in 2024.
This was all in 2024.
Incredible.
It's yeah. crazy, wow. yeah.
Yeah.
And so how did you like being on Broadway? Or Off-Broadway?
Yeah, on Off-Broadway.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I mean, it was a dream come true. Growing up doing Soul Theater and doing
Theater
Aspen, Aspen Community Theater, that we all spoke about. Everybody wants to go to Broadway. Everybody wants to go make movies. Everybody, mm-hmm. you know, so that was that world I grew up in, the extracurricular. I didn't love school. I wasn't good in school. And then it happened. And I'm sitting there. It was opening night. And the opening scene is so dramatic and intense, and yeah. poof, the courtroom scene starts, yeah. and I did not smile, but I was trying to hold back that excitement and contain the excitement.
I think I saw a video of you on your Instagram backstage, and you're just like freaking out. Is this happening? Is this real?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I stalked you a little bit before with this interview.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's how it felt. Yeah. It was unreal.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think all those years, I mean, Patrick was never shy. You were just always ready to put yourself out there. All those, even the years here being in high school, you were well known as this great actor. And I think that really pays off. You just got to get out there and like make it happen.
Yeah.
yeah. So then, while you were on doing Off Broadway, you got The Rookie.
No, so we started the show in LA. We opened the show, and there's a casting director named Carol Kritzer. She's married to a guy named Larry Poindexter, and Larry was in the show. So she was automatically going to come to the play. And for those who don't know, a casting director basically seeks out the talent. And
it's like when you're in the minor leagues and there's the talent guy that's out there.
Exactly. The talent scout.
The scout.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was. Hmm. And she pulled me in. She said, I want you to audition for this Amazon pilot. So I did that. And I got very far down the line. And that's how I got an agent and a manager. And it happened very quick. And so another month went by, and I'd been doing auditions, just doing self-tapes, because we're all doing self-tapes now. You never go into the rooms anymore.
Ah.
And I'm in Tulum. I'm in this cabana in Tulum
goodness.
With my family, and they send me The Rookie audition. And I'd seen The Rookie on TikTok, that song, the Cop Cutie song.
Yeah.
That's like the most popular thing on TikTok and on Instagram. And so that's how I knew what the show was, but I wasn't super familiar with it. And I did this audition literally in the cabana, in the freaking I don't know if that's what you call it, in the room in the in Tulum. And I sent it out, and a couple of days later they call and they say you booked the role.
And whoa!
It's a very, you know, I am very lucky, and I'm very thankful, and the universe aligned, and it dropped a gift right at my doorstep, and I that's why I'm bringing it back to the Crystal Theater, because I, you know, we got to bring it back, and this is where it all started.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, gosh, it's just, you're just beginning. I mean, this is early on in your career. So with The Rookie, it's season 7, and how many episodes?
There are 18 in total.
Wow. So did you film all of them already?
Yeah, they're all done.
Whoa. Wow.
All done. Yeah.
Yeah. So like how is that done? Like an episode a day, or is it episode a week? Tell us the process.
Yeah, it's about a week and a half for an episode.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes our last 2 or 3 days we'll have a second unit go out and start the next episode. Mm-hmm. And we'll jump back and forth between it's so quick and it's so fast, and it's incredible working on set. Yeah.
So you play a cop, right? Mm-hmm. And do you film out on the streets at all? Like,
yeah.
Are you a fake cop out on the streets?
Yeah. It's really cool. So Nathan Fillion, one of the main guy in the show, Nathan and I were cruising around in our cop car. We call it a shop. We're cruising around, and we got two guys with cameras in the back, and he goes, what did he say? He's like, you know, one of my favorite parts of this job is nobody knows that we're not real cops. And we come to this intersection, and all the cars stops, and he goes, we can go whenever we want. And we like pull out. And so, you know, it was cool, and it's a little bit of a power trip to be like dressed up as a cop. But my very first day on set was episode one is regularly going to be the most expensive episode on TV. When they shoot, they want to pack it in and give you the punch. So we had this crazy scene in downtown Los Angeles. We blocked off a couple streets. Helicopters are flying in visual effects, but we jump out of the cars and we have this crazy shootout. We're going to see this tonight in episode one. And that was my very first day on set. So my character is like, it's his first day on the job. And this is, there was like minute moments of acting and real moments of, oh my God, I'm getting shot at. The freaking cameras are everywhere.
Yeah.
You
are the rookie.
It was, yeah, I exactly. Yeah. There you go. It was a perfect match. Yeah.
Wow. And so it through those 18 weeks or 18 episodes of filming, did you really feel you developing your character deeper and deeper? Did you become more of this guy? What's his name?
Yeah, Seth Ridley.
Old Seth.
Yeah, old Seth. Yeah. Yes. Seth has got such a incredible arc throughout the story, and I can't tell you, obviously. But, I got to dive in deep into that and really acting for film and TV. When I was in film school, I learned more and more about this. But, you know, acting on stage, you're big and you're bold, and you got to fill that theater. But when you're in the movies, like when we're sitting down, we're watching a movie, you go, God, he's so good because he's so real.
Yeah.
And the minute that we start acting, you're like, he's not really a good actor.
Yeah.
You know? And so toning that down and honing into what is this real experience? What am I really feeling? And being grounded in that is so incredible, and that was so special. Where it sounds like if we had cameras in the room right now and they were filming us, we would get an Oscar for our performance because we're being so real.
I know,
right.
I would.
Yeah, you definitely would. And that's what
you'd get people's choice for sure.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Wow. No, it's a cool perspective that you've gotten from being in play and in the play, and now on in this incredible show. I got to watch the first two episodes, and I think I got a glimpse of the start of your arc through the 18 episodes, but we'll see.
Yeah, good.
And this plays on Hulu
and
ABC. So tonight there's a little event that's happening at the Crystal. How great.
Yeah.
I think the red carpet's being rolled out now.
And I saw your name up there in big letters.
Yeah.
On the marquee.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what's going on.
So Aaron Rigney and I have – Aaron really has put this entire event together.
She's a go-getter, girl.
She texted me one day and said, your dad is – your dad, Aaron's right here in the corner right now. she says – your dad says, Wave, we should do a screening at the Crystal. And I said, oh, my God, let's do that. And then got the ball rolling on it. It's really the point of the event is to bring the community together, and there's 125 seats in that theater. I reached out to 150, the closest, you know, the people that I thought it was like a, oh my gosh, there's gonna be people out there right now that are like, Patrick, you didn't invite me. But it's like a VIP wedding in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you gotta bring the close people in. So we have Theater Aspen, we have Soul Theater, and Thunder River Theater and ACT. We have people from all over and people that I just grew up with. Bob and Kathy, they were so they're awesome. And I one of my dreams from very young is being able to walk in front of the marquee and see my name up on that marquee. Wow. And I didn't, like, seriously, that has been a visualization for a very long time. And like a, when I'm sitting and praying and meditating on it, like, I've thought, I want a movie at the Crystal. So it's pretty cool how that, you know, things come to reality, you know?
Seems like you're good at that. It seems like the past year or so has just, you've been manifesting a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's no small feat.
No.
Do you have a speech prepared?
Oh, gosh. Well, Jeff Patterson is going to be on the, he's going to be our MC tonight. Jeff's a great guy. Yeah, we're going to be talking. Really, it's just thanks to Erin Rigney. And she's amazing, so.
Well, what a night. There's a few seats open, potentially. Yes. So if you did not get the invite and you want to go down to the theater and see if you can get in, what time is the showing starting?
It starts at 7 o'clock, but you want to be there 10 minutes prior.
Yeah, and and if you're trying to get in, you probably, you know, you might have to wait with the crowds, you know? Well, Patrick, just congratulations on everything. We are going to follow your career, and hopefully we'll have you back here in the studio when that movie is playing over at the Crystal.
Yeah.
But it sounds great. I'm going to have to watch The Rookie. Gosh. Yeah. Well, congratulations. Thanks for taking some time to come in here.
Yeah, and thank you.
Thanks, Erin, for reaching out and making it happen. We're going to give Erin love, too, because she's embarrassed over in the corner. Right. All right, everybody. Well, we are just about to wrap up. Express yourself. It's been great to be back here. Thank you.
I know. It's been a while since we've been back in the saddle together.
I know. I know. I know. You guys, I hope everyone's having a good new year. And we're just going to all hold on tight and keep our eyes on the skies and see what happens. All right. Here we go.
Libraries. I'm Brett Berry.